I wish to talk to you today about the Bible. What a precious and holy book it is. How timely. How needful. In fact, there is no book like it. It is unique in every sense of the word. When Sir Walter Scott lay dying, he called to his son-in-law, "Bring me the book." Confused by such a request as he looked at the immense library, the son-in-law inquired, "Which book?" To this Sir Walter Scott replied, "There is but one book, the Bible." Now how true this is. Millions of people have, and still do, testify likewise. And history itself bears witness to the same truth in spite of the attacks made against it. The Bible stands. It still stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. There's no book like the Bible. The Bible is unique. It's unique, first of all, because of what it is. It's one book. It's one revelation from God. It's made up of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. About 40 writers wrote the Scriptures. They came from various stations in life. They were engaged in various occupations. And the Bible was written over a period of about 1,500 years. It is, dear friend, the Word of God. In the Old Testament, in Daniel, we read that he calls it the Scripture, or the writing, of truth. The Scripture of truth. It's a revelation of God's truth. It's God's revelation. It's a revelation of His mind. In fact, it's His very speech. He spoke through human instruments, it's true. Now, let us be very clear. The Bible not only contains the Word of God, it is the Word of God. Every word has come from Him, intending to convey His mind to you and to me and to all men. And this is true from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation. There is not a word in the original manuscript of the Bible which has not been given by inspiration of God. So we do have in the Scriptures, in the writings, in that blessed book that we have, God's mind revealed in His holy word. Now the Bible is unique also because of its origin. 2 Peter 1:21 we read, and I quote, "For the prophecy came not by the will of man, but holy men of God spake, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Also in 2 Timothy 3:16 we read, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Or we could read it thus, as from the J.N. Darby translation, and I quote, "Every Scripture is God-breathed." Now that's what inspiration means. God has breathed His mind. He has, as it were, told the writers what to say. Of course, the styles of the writers vary, and God has taken this into consideration in choosing them. The various men whom He chose to convey His mind had various qualities and characteristics. He knew they had them, and He chose them. And so when we read, for instance, Moses, we notice that his style is different than Paul. And in the New Testament also, we can discern Peter as differing from Paul and John. But God breathed every bit of the divine revelation through the various writers. Now, this is what inspiration means. Now, also, the Bible speaks itself and gives witness to the fact that it is God's word. In the books of the law, Moses said many times throughout his writings, quote, "Thus saith the Lord." Or else we read, "For the Lord spake unto Moses, saying." Now this also is recorded in the Psalms. We read the same thing in the prophets. And when we come to the New Testament, Paul often says, "By the word of the Lord," as he writes to the various assemblies or individuals in his letters. So in every part of the Bible, the very words of God, inspired by Him, are written through human instruments. What a wonderful thing we have. And friend, you know, there are no contradictions in the Word of God. If there's anything that seems to be a contradiction, it's the lack of our understanding. But now, we notice that the Bible is unique also because of the means of understanding it. Now, these means are beyond the mere natural intelligence of man. And this point is very important to consider. The truth of it is given to us in the first epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 2. And what I'd like to read a few verses, beginning with verse 11. Now, quote, "For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Unquote. What a revelation this is. What a revelation in regards to the understanding of God's wonderful book, the Bible. The Bible is unique in that it's different from the writings of men in this respect. Men who write that their readers might be able to grasp the meaning of their words. Now, of course, the Bible does not have any difficult words in it, but we're talking about understanding the spiritual truths of the Bible. Do you realize that God's record in the Bible cannot be comprehended as to its spiritual meaning apart from divine power? Human intellect is absolutely insufficient, unable to comprehend the mind of God. In that verse 14, which we read, I again repeat it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In fact, we hear people sometimes say, "Well, I read the Bible and I don't get a thing out of it." Now, there may be a reason for that. In fact, there is a reason for not discerning spiritual truth. Now, I'm not saying that as believers, that all believers understand fully all things in the Bible. That's not so. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm going to say and to mention is the vast difference between a believer and an unbeliever. And the believer alone has the capacity to understand God's Word, to get his mind. And why? Because he possesses the indwelling, the Spirit of God, the divine teacher. I shall speak of this more shortly, but here I would like to say that an unbeliever, a natural man, a man who has not been born anew, has not been born of God, he is not saved, he cannot understand the Bible. In fact, it's foolishness unto him. It's beyond the understanding, then, of mere human intellect. The best mind that men might have is insufficient to comprehend the simplest of God's truths, spiritual truths. It's beyond mere human reasoning of the natural man. In fact, the Scripture says, neither can he know them, that is, the things of God. Why? Because these things are spiritually discerned. But now one might ask, well, then who can understand? Well, this is what I trust to make plain. The one who can understand is he who has been born of God. He who has been born of God has the Spirit of God indwelling him. The Spirit of God is the divine teacher. And this person who has the Spirit of God, the saved person, the believer, is one whom the Apostle Paul calls a spiritual man in the end of this chapter 2, 1 Corinthians. And he is the one, because he has the Spirit of God, who is able to discern the things of God, the things of divine revelation. In other words, the born-again believer has the capacity to discern, to understand, to appreciate, to enjoy, to know the things that are freely given to him of God. The Apostle John corroborates this, Spirit of God through John, in his epistle in chapter 2, where he tells us, we have an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. The thought is we have the capacity to know the things of God. In verse 12 of our second chapter, 1 Corinthians again, Paul writes, we have received, you see, the Spirit of God. Paul speaks here of those who are included in the company of the redeemed ones, the we. We have received not the spirit of the world, that's insufficient with all its learning, but we have received the Spirit that is of God. Why? That we may know. K-N-O-W. What divine certainty there is in connection with this, as well as the accumulation of knowledge. That we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. And those things are recorded, dear friend, in his word, the Bible. Now here is the scriptures put before us. And dear listener, I would just ask you to pause just for a moment right where you are and ask yourself the question, am I included in the company of the redeemed ones? Am I a spiritual person, such as we read in this chapter? Am I simply a natural man? I trust that you'll consider this. May the Lord awaken you to your real condition now before God. Ask yourself, am I born of the Spirit? Have I been born again? Am I indwelt by the Spirit of God? Or am I just born of the flesh and have no indwelling Spirit, no divine teacher? These are questions that are vital. And I would ask that you face them now. And do not rest until you know that you are saved by grace through faith in Christ. Well, then this, you see, will help us to understand how we can understand the Bible. How can a spiritual man understand? In Hebrews chapter 11, we have a verse which puts it right on the line. We read, through faith we understand. Now, the Bible itself, when received by faith, is that which gives us the mind of God as revealed to our understanding. And from whence, we ask, does faith come? Let Scripture answer that. In Romans 10:17, we read, faith cometh by hearing, or report, and hearing, or the report, by the word of God. God has given us an infallible record, an infallible report. And that report, dear friends, when heard, will produce faith, the hearing of faith. Now, what we cannot comprehend through our intellect, our reasoning, our own faculties, our senses, God, dear friends, gives us the capacity to comprehend, gives us a spiritual understanding through faith in his infallible word. And this, of course, coupled with the teaching of the Spirit of God. Apart from the Spirit of God, the Word itself is no open book to us. But with the Spirit of God and the faith on your part, the Scriptures become open, become a mine of wealth, a source of joy. How blessed. Now, anyone who comes to God and believes that he is and accepts him as the revealer of all truth through his word shall know the things revealed in the Bible. Now, this is a divine certainty, and I want you to be drawn to consider that. And what a wonderful, supernatural, eternal understanding this is. But now, I would like If you would turn to Hebrews chapter 4, please. And here we read what the Bible has to say about itself. In verse 12, and I quote, "For the word of God is quick and living, and powerful," or effectual, "and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Now, is not the Bible unique in that the written word is inseparable from its author, the living word? We have that here. You notice what was written in the verses that we read, that the word that you have in your hand, the Bible, you see, the written word, in verse 13, is connected with this: "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight." His sight? Yes, the living word. "But all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him," him with whom we have to do. Ah, the written word is inseparable then, I say, from the living word. He who himself, dear friend, is the Word. The Word, who is he? That which became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The living Word is our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the theme of the written Word. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Word of God. In fact, in Revelation 19:13, we read, quote, "His name shall be called the Word of God." In John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by him." Yes, the Word is our Lord Jesus Christ. And who is he? He's God's revelation of truth. And we hear him say in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, the Word, you say, what is a word? Well, a word is that by which we convey our thoughts. Now, the written Word is that which gives us God's thoughts, God's mind, God's counsels, and God's purposes. And this written Word, what does it do? It unfolds to us. The theme of the written Word is the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word. Now, he came into the world as the living expression of all that God is. And he carried out to completion, to God's glory, all the mind of God for man's redemption, for your salvation, my dear listening friend. He was here in the world, that Holy One who knew no sin. He was sent by God the Father, and he is God the Son. On the one hand, we see in him God's absolute holiness. And on the other hand, we see God's marvelous grace. The Lord Jesus Christ perfectly manifested the person and character of the triune God with all his divine attributes in perfect accord and perfect balance. Now, this word is the one, beloved listener, with whom we have to do. He is the one with whom you have to do. You and I cannot escape this encounter. Neither can we be neutral in regards to what we think or do about the written word or the living word. And dear friend, he has to do with us. He wants to do with us now in grace. He wants us to receive him by his word, through faith in his word. And we have to do with him. Nor can we escape his all-discerning eye. There is not a person who is not manifest in his sight, we read. You and I are known to him inside out, and you cannot hide from him. And you cannot even keep one thought from him. Think of it. This is beyond our human comprehension. And he is the discerner, the thoughts and the intents of our heart. The word discerner is quite interesting. It means the critic. He is the divine critic. Yes, he is. Alas, vain man sits, as a critic, you might say, on this blessed book, the Bible, tearing it to pieces, changing it here, taking from it there, adding to it in another place. But, dear friend, this blessed book, this living word, is the critic of the highest authority. And the day is coming in which everything is going to have to give an account to him. Every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God. Yes, the Bible's unique. It's living. Unlike the writings of men, it abides the same. It's just as up to date today as it ever was. It meets the needs of men today. Unlike men's writings, the books of science, for instance, need to be rewritten constantly. But this book will never have to be rewritten. In connection with scientific truth, all that is proven science is seen in the Word of God, because He's the God of science. It's living. It's effectual. It's unique in that it is effectual and powerful. When it enters the heart by faith, dear friends, it changes lives from sin to holiness, from misery to comfort, from death to life. Have you proven this to be so? Oh, it is our purpose today in these few moments with the book that the Lord might use these remarks to bring you to proving His word. He said, "The hour is coming, and now is when the dead, the spiritually dead, those that have no life in Christ, you, dear friend, if you're unsaved, right this moment can be the time when you hear His voice. And by faith, when you hear His voice, in His word, you'll live. Right this moment. Will you not hear Him? He that hath ears to hear, Jesus said, let him hear. Hear Him as He speaks in His word. Believe Him. Believe that He died for you and for your sins on the cross of Calvary, and He arose the third day from the grave for your justification, for the fact that you might be acquitted from all your guilt." He says in John 5:24, "He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Will you not trust Him now? If you do, you'll become one of the miracles of God's grace. Yes, you will. You'll become one of the unique products of the unique, incorruptible seed, the Word of God. And when you receive this by faith, you'll be born into God's family forever. May God bless His Word. Turn to it, read it, believe it, trust it. And you'll find that it is indeed a unique book just for you. Loving God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word, and we pray that the entrance of it will bring light to many souls today. In Jesus' name and for His sake, amen.